Well, hello there, boxing fans around the world. Thank you for joining me once again here on Talk and Fight for yet another episode of Boxing News Today. And today we have a lot to talk about with respect to fights that have happened recently and some recaps out of Australia, as well as some previews for upcoming fights. And to top it off, we've got some barbs thrown at our good friend Eddie Hearn to conclude the episode. So stay tuned. Here we go. We'll start off with some women fighting. down in Australia, as I reported the other day, we were going to see Jasmine Parr take on Sarah Watt, both out of Australia, by the way. It was a scheduled six-rounder, but she won by Jasmine Parr. That is won by a technical knockout at 1 minute, 1 second of the fifth round. It was a schedule. Did I say that already? Scheduled six rounder. And in a second female bout, Chanel Dargan, also out of Australia, won by a six round majority decision over Christine Gillespie, and she's fighting out of New Zealand. So a couple of women on the card that we're about to talk about right now involving Tim Hsu's brother and how he will fare. We'll get to in a sec because we're going to start from the, let's say, the bottom up, if you will. Ben Hussein versus Mason Smith. And the reason I mention those two female clashes is because they're not mentioned in this particular article for some reason, left off. But anyway, the point of the matter is Ben Hussein went toe-to-toe against Mason Smith, and rather a scrappy affair, apparently, and a couple of low blows here and there. Nonetheless, clear knockdown, Hussein. I stopped Smith in the 10th. It looks like Hussein had gone through all the gears. Definitely want to keep an eye on. Now with the WBA Oceania super welterweight title to his name. So, Matthew Tapia versus Kyber Gonzalez. Tapia, the clear favorite, was troubled by Gonzalez throughout, forcing Tapia to take a knee, although this was ruled a slip. A sharp empiric jab from Tapia was keeping Gonzalez at bay, although Gonzalez worked better under pressure, it seemed. Around round seven, Tapia produced work hard on the head and body that clearly had Gonzalez troubled. The two men proved they were made of marble as they both refused to go down, but Mateo Tapia won by narrow unanimous decision, claiming the WBO Latino middleweight title in the process. Great fight. One of the women's fights that they do report on was Clara Lascarut versus Lynn Sandstrom. Lascarut was clearly dominating from the opening bell, demonstrating her champion caliber by landing and throwing all the punches whilst keeping Sandstrom from initiating. Sandstrom appeared to be operating on a different time scale to Lascarut, who was peppering her without end. Sandstrom had no answers from start to finish in a shutout performance from Lascarut. The Argentinian once again retained her WBA World Super Flyweight title. Congratulations, Clara. Jerome Pampeloni versus Malik Zenad. Apparently, this was the fight of the night. Seeped in bad blood, the war between Pampeloni and Zenad proved to be more of an upset than predicted. From the offset, Zenad appeared to be more comfortable than the Panther as he took destructive blows with a smile and dished out heavy-handed blows back. Pampeloni attempted to wobble Zenad with left hooks, although a big shot in the middle half of the fight instead had Pampeloni wobbled. Despite a slight smear of blood from the nose, Zenad held strong throughout. Monster shots by both men sent the crowd into a frenzy more than any of the previous fights, with Pampeloni refusing to go down despite the clear pressure of Zenad. Ultimately, the night belonged to Zenad, who overcame mountains of adversity to put on a shutout performance that put him in clear contention for the IBF strap. The main event, Nikita Tsayu versus Danilo Criatti, was more of a tepid affair, with a performance almost typical of Tsayu. Power so intense it shuts out boxing ability on a national level. Criatti was awkward and tricky in the first round, although from the first knockdown occurring in the second, he seemed to be unable to regain any presence. That is, aside from the six, where he managed to wobble Tsayu with a slippery counter. Tsayu shook off assaults to the torso to stalk and pin Criatti in a relatively nonchalant display, much less explosive than the co-main event. Moving into round, Tsayu had no previous experience in. His gas tank proved to be intense, refusing to slow. The hooks ultimately won Tsayu the fight, as even with brilliant head movement, Criatti had nothing for them. So a very entertaining, engaging, and exciting card from Australia. Fantastic reporting out of BoxingNews24.com. Around the world we go. World-rated super bantamweight Ramon Cardenas, 25-1, scored a ninth round knockout against Eduardo Ramirez, 4-2, on Wednesday night at the White Sands Event Center down in Plant City, Florida. Cardenas ended a close competitive fight with a body shot, and the time was 1:30.37 in the ninth round. Also on the card, super welterweight Damian Sosa, 25-2, upset previously unbeaten local hero Marquez Valle. He's now 10-1 by split decision over 10 rounds. Former world champ Ronnie Rios, 34-4, won his featherweight debut by fifth round knockout over Nicholas Polanka, 21-6. And body shots finished Polanka times 54 seconds, as I said, in the fifth round. One of our favorites here on Talk and Fight, Chocolatito Gonzalez. He's got an opponent coming up, Roman Gonzalez. Roman, that's Chocolatito Gonzalez, has now confirmed his opponent for the historic return on July 12th at the Alexis Arguello Arena in Managua, Nicaragua. Gonzalez will face the former WBA world title challenger, Robert Barrera, 27-5, in a 10-round main event. And that's going to be a show streaming live on ESPN Plus and ESPN Knockout in Latin America. Gonzalez, however, will have to shake off some ring rust after 18 months of inactivity by the time he steps into the ring. As we all know, Chocolatito was last seen in that trilogy against Juan Francisco Estrada back in December of 2022. Good stuff. Elsewhere around the world, Isaac Chamberlain will challenge Polish champion Michael Sislak for the European Cruiserweight Championship on Saturday, June 15th at Selhurst Park, the home of Crystal Palace FC, live on Sky Sports. Sislak versus Chamberlain is the first in a series of major undercard announcements confirmed for the blockbuster night of entertainment boxing, celebrating 100 years of Selhurst Park and headlined by the All-British World Title showdown between Chris Billam-Smith and Richard Rapport for the WBO World Cruiserweight Championship. By the way, Chamberlain is 16-2, and he was named as the mandatory challenger for Sislak and his European crown following a dominant points victory over London rival Mikhail Lawal for the British and Commonwealth titles at York Hall held in October. Patrick Stumberg over at the Sport BadLeftHook.com. Terence Crawford's August 3rd clash with WBA super welterweight champ Israel Madrimov had its first press conference, where both confirmed the main event and made some adjustments to the previously revealed undercard as well. Isaac Pitbull Cruz versus Jose Valenzuela, Andy Ruiz Jr. versus Jarrell Miller, Tim Sayu and Virgil Ortiz Jr. are all official, but the much rival trilogy match between Leo Santa Cruz and Abner Meraz appears to be off. In its place are David Morrell's light heavyweight debut and the latest from super prospect Andy Cruz. Morrell, he's 10-0, 9 knockouts, who's held the WBA secondary super middleweight title for nearly 4 years, announced last week that he was moving up to 175 after the sanctioning body showed no signs of even ordering a title consolidation with Canelo. He meets capable veteran Radivojo Kalajic, 29-2, last seen putting Sullivan Barrera out of to pasture last month. Fair enough. All righty, let's move along to good old Devin Haney. Headline screams, Haney cornered. Mandatory fight or rematch payday? Moving along to another subsequent headline on another website, boxing247.com, we read, Devin Haney wants rematch with Ryan at agreed weight. So apparently this is, not big news, but there has been a lot of scuffle back and forth online, especially on social media. Devin Haney surfaced on Instagram, potentially because he can't say anything because it potentially has a broken jaw. But anyway, he surfaced on Instagram to say he wants a rematch with Ryan Garcia at an agreed weight, put that in air quotes, under different conditions. The previously unbeaten Haney suffered the most humiliating defeat of his career, and he says he wants a fair, again, air quotes, deal in the rematch. Haney, 31-1, still holds the WBC light welterweight title, but a rematch would likely need to take place without his belt being on the line. Ryan says he can't go below 143. It doesn't look promising for Haney. The marketing genius Ryan hasn't expressed much interest in fighting Haney again. He's been more interested in fighting Gervonta Davis, Sebastian Pantoja, and Jerome Boots. And as Ryan's attitude seems to be, I've been there, done that, and he doesn't see any point in a second fight with Haney. Let's move along to our good friend Frank Warren, who is running Queensbury over in England, and up until recently did not have a very good relationship, apparently, with Eddie Hearn. But nowadays, due to the impact of the Saudis, they are putting on Queensbury and Matchroom that are putting on these 5v5 contests. Team versus team. So Frank Warren picks five guys, Eddie Hearn picks five guys, and they go toe to toe. All right. So this particular article on boxingscene.com compares the management of, say, an individual fighter versus the management of a team, and compares boxing to football or soccer. So we'll go past all the various jabs and hooks with respect to the comparison between football and or soccer and boxing, and talk about Warren and his view about managing a team versus simply an individual. As we all know, as I reported earlier, Hamza Shariz will captain Queensbury, while Nick Ball is the energetic, no-nonsense dynamic, capable of setting the tone for the whole event. Warren has gone for two big men up front. Don't expect any intricate hold-up play from Daniel Dubois and Zhilai Zhang. The heavyweight duo won't be running in the channels, but they do form a pretty potent tandem. Willie Hutchinson will play the role of mercurial number 10, an undoubted talent capable of moments of brilliance but prone to inconsistency. So a bit of banter about football management, boxing promotion, yada yada. So you're going to giving a dressing room speech beforehand? Frank Warren replies, I've done that already. Don't worry about that. I've told them, don't you embarrass me. I don't care about you lot. Just don't embarrass me. He continues, you got to have a serious side for obvious reasons, but I do like to have a bit of banter as well. There's a line you draw and you don't step over it. But what I'm trying to build in them is that although they've got their individual careers, and that's the most important thing because boxing is the most selfish of all sports, I want a sense of camaraderie. I want that feeling that they don't want to let each other down or let the team down. I want them to support each other. I want that feeling of it being us against them. It's important for them. It's important for Queensbury and our TV channels, everything. He goes on to say and conclude, I want to win it, and I want to do this again. I've never had a conversation with Eddie Hearn until a few weeks ago, and since then, there have been some quite constructive ones. If you remember, I put forward the idea of doing a similar type of show a few years ago. It's there to be done now. I think we can do this at various stages of shows. We could do it at York Hall with the younger kids, then medium-sized shows at, say, the Copper Box, and then big ones. Of course, he's all talk when it comes to the British audience and the British fan base of boxing. There's a lot of different connotations we can do with this, he continues. Even if the fighters get beat, but they're in a fight that they learn from, that's not the end of the world because they're picking up experience. So on we go to some of the criticisms leveled against Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn was at a press conference that also featured Terence Crawford, and the two exchanged words at this particular press conference with respect to Crawford going toe-to-toe ultimately against one of the Matchroom boxers, Israel Madrimov. So Crawford spoke at this press conference, confirms first bout since beating Errol Spence back in July 2023. And he came, obviously, as I just said, face-to-face with Hearn. So, in a rather devious exchange, says TalkSport.com, Crawford vowed, you are going to get heartbroken again. And apparently it was an ice-cold moment from Crawford, who then laughed, though, with Hearn, but is clearly keen to once again assert his name at top of the pound-for-pound list. Hearn, however, had a different view and quickly responded, my heart's been broken before. You broke my heart in Glasgow once with Ricky Burns and with Julius Ndongo. So hopefully we can reverse the roles this time. As I said, all respect and credit, but let's make one thing clear. They know it. This guy, Madrimov, is for real. Bomack, Crawford's trainer, that's Brand McIntyre, is absolutely right. He, Madrimov, is the best 154-pound fighter in the world. So, all right, let's move along to other people who had not so kind things to say about Eddie Hearn recently. Daniel Dubois was in the news. And there appears to be some external motivation for the 26-year-old who feels that Hearn has doubted him in the past. As we all know, Dubois is going off, I believe, to Saudi Arabia to fight again. But nonetheless, this is what Dubois had to say, having previously fought in Saudi Arabia on that Day of Reckoning card, if you all remember, when he had to fight Jarrell Miller. He goes, as Dubois, like I said, you can put them all in the group. All the naysayers are all out there. When they see you, they are all happy and everything. But when they're not doing so well, they're quick to write you off and talk shit about you. Eddie Hearn said many things, hasn't he? He said right before the fight with Jarrell Miller that if I lose, my career's over, shit like that. You've got to think about that. I wish I was fighting him, you know? So, anyway, Daniel Dubois has nothing kind to say about Eddie Hearn, obviously. His upcoming fight against Filip Hrgović gives the London-born fighter another chance to pave his way to a world title shot. He last challenged for a title against Alexander Usyk back in August. Dubois was outclassed by his Ukrainian counterpart, dropped and stopped in the ninth round. However, the fight was not without controversy, as we all recall. Usyk looked in rough shape after a thundering body shot. However, the ref ruled the punch a low blow, giving the unified champion ample time to recover. And indeed, it was a controversy, but it's over with now. And Dubois is set to face Filip Hrgović and did not have very kind words for Eddie Hearn. Someone else who does not have kind words at all for Eddie Hearn is Oscar De La Hoya. Immediately after Devin Haney's loss, Hearn, who co-promoted the boxer for the event, shared a photo of the two embracing on Instagram. But De La Hoya swiftly responded and criticized him for assuming Haney could easily bounce back from such a devastating defeat. He said to Hearn, "You obviously never laced up the gloves, just like Don King and the rest. You don't know what it's like to fight inside a ring. Guess what? I do. And that beating will last a while." And De La Hoya wasn't done there, adding another comment in a later post. He said, "Eddie, for the sake of British boxing, just stay in the UK and promote and leave the real promoters to the US market where boxing matters. You had your opportunity, wasting away hundreds of millions of dollars building nothing in the US." Well, Eddie fired back following that comment, hitting out at De La Hoya over his views. "Genuinely, are you okay? You stalk me like a crazed fan. You had a great win on Saturday, yet I consume your mind 24/7. Unfortunately for you, I'm a global promoter with 18 world champions. You have 4. I have big plans to work with everyone to grow the sport globally, and I have some fantastic talent in the US market. Genuinely, wish you all the best and hope you can enjoy what you do." As you can see, there's a little bit of ongoing tension between Hearn and De La Hoya, and it was rather palpable during another encounter earlier this year when they participated in a moderated conversation with Chris Mannix. And during the discussion, they explored the potential for collaborating on a co-promotional fight. Despite the dialogue, it seems their rivalry remains as fierce as ever, indicating that any cooperation between the two boxing promoters may be unlikely in the future. Of course, as we all know, money talks, bullshit walks. All right. Thanks for joining me here on Talk and Fight. Appreciate it very much. We'll see you again. Remember to like, share, subscribe, hit the notification bell. And remember, we go live 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday to Friday.